Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Hey, welcome to the Rediscover Hour, everyone. Patrick Cranley, glad to be with you again here. We are into February. I hope you're enjoying that we are already 1/12 of the way through 2019. And given the temperatures that we've been having recently, I'm sure that we're rejoicing in a little bit of a break from that this coming weekend. So it's a very good time to stretch our Minnesota wings again and be out in the midst of the cold, although it's going to feel very, very warm as it even gets above freezing this weekend, which is a wonderful thing. You know, we got another thing going on this weekend. We've got February 2nd on Saturday. So if you're listening on Friday night or on Saturday, happy Groundhog Day. No, not Groundhog Day. Happy Presentation of the Lord Day. Presentation of the Lord in the Temple, just a few thoughts on that this morning. So this is a wonderful time. By the way, St. Simeon is a favorite saint of my wife and I. I don't know, somehow we're both just drawn to him and his wonderful waiting on the revelation of the Lord. And as Mary and Joseph bring the baby Jesus into the temple, and he recognizes that in this little infant, the God of the universe has provided for the salvation of all humanity from the beginning of time till its consummation. What a gift, what a wonderful gift. And here he is, in a way, it's bridging everything that has come before him, as we know from the Old Testament, and the history of God's chosen people, the history of the nation of Israel as they come together in the temple. And here, as we know from the Gospels, Jesus has, shall we say, a rather tumultuous relationship with the temple, in that he is superseding the temple. He is greater than the temple. And he is now, as a baby, being presented to the presence of his own heavenly Father there in the temple. And then he will go ahead to say that his body becomes the temple. And indeed, worshipers everywhere will worship not in Jerusalem or Judea, but in spirit and in truth. And indeed, wherever the temple of his body, as St. John the Evangelist reveals to us, is. And that is a privilege that we have specifically as sacramental Catholics, that we know that in all the sacraments, all the other sacraments save the Holy Eucharist, that the power, the spiritual presence of God is present in and through the working of the Holy Spirit. But in the Eucharist itself, we have the sacramental presence of the Lord. And so we can still come into the temple wherever that sacramental presence exists, because we now are worshiping in spirit and in truth at that place of his body. And he is also given over into the temple, becoming one, as it were, with his heavenly Father in that gesture of Mary and Joseph, doing as the law prescribed and presenting him in the temple. We too, in our baptism, become one with the new temple, with the body of our Lord, as we are incorporated into him in baptism. As St. Paul tells us in Romans, that we are indeed incorporated into him. We are made one with him in his death, and please God, in his resurrection as well. So what's my challenge in all of this on this wonderful feast day of the Presentation of the Lord? Then my challenge would be, how are you presenting yourself to the Lord? Because it is an act that must be done willfully, that we give ourselves over to the Lord. St. John Paul II talks about the law of the gift, and that we as human beings, we actually achieve the highest level of our humanity. We become most fully the people, the individuals that we were uniquely crafted to be in the mind of God, when we give ourselves away, first and foremost, of course, to our Lord, to the new temple, to Jesus himself, and then also for the sake of the world, for the sake of others, when we sacrificially give of ourselves away. And that's one of the parts of the divine economy that I find really intriguing, and time again, I have to revisit in my own ruminations, my own reflections, and my own prayer life, is that the more I give myself away, the more I become the person that God truly intended me to be. So how are you giving yourself away in the presentation of yourself for the good of others. That's the challenge that's there before us. Maybe there's some small step you can take even on this weekend in February here in Minnesota. Maybe you can go out and give yourself away by scraping off someone's car, shoveling snow for someone else, making someone else a hot beverage and bringing it to them, providing some sort of care and warmth for others that they might see and experience the giving love of our own Lord Jesus in and through that. So that's my challenge to you this presentation weekend. What do we got coming up on the show today? Well, I'm glad you asked. So we have Nell O'Leary and Shay Olson from Blessed Is She, who are joining us to talk about specifically Blessed Conversations and what's going on there. We'll find all about that from them. We also have Wesley Sandholm and Isabel Brown, who are with us to talk about Catholic Beer Club. Yep, you heard me right, Catholic Beer Club. We are going to be talking a little bit more. And then a little bit later in the program, Men's Evangelization, I'm really tripping over my tongue today. Men's Evangelization Manager Enzo Randazzo sits down with Matt Fred, who's going to be a featured speaker at an upcoming Catholic Watchman rally. So that's what's coming up on the Rediscover Hour today. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show, commit the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're off into our first break. When we come back, Nell O'Leary, Shay Olson from Blessed Is She. Stay with us.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley, brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. And hey, a quick note, if you happen to be listening, if you're listening for the Rediscover Hour next weekend on February the 10th, that's Sunday, our airtime is going to change. We're no longer going to be on at 9 a.m., but we're going to be aired at 2 p.m. instead. So that's coming up next week. Joining me now in studio to talk a little bit about Blessed Is She, Nell O'Leary is a recovering lawyer turned blogger and speaker and a managing editor for Blessed Is She. And she is joined by Shay Olson, who is a fellow organizer of Blessed Conversations. And she's written articles for I Believe in Love, Bluma, and Verily magazine. Welcome, ladies, to the program.
Thank you.
Yeah, great to have you with us. All right. Blessed Is She. It's possible that some people have not actually heard of Blessed Is She. What is Blessed Is She all about?
Blessed Is She is all about sisterhood, bringing Catholic women together, and the new evangelization.
Sounds good. Okay, tell me more.
There's so much more to tell.
In my elevator speech.
Okay.
So Blessed Is She is a Catholic women's ministry founded by Jenna Gizar in Phoenix, Arizona, 4.5 years ago. Our mainstay are our free daily devotional emails. We have 40 writers spanning college to grandma, working women, everything in between. We even have nuns who write for us.
Nice.
To write with nuns, it's the best.
Okay.
So if you head over to our website at blessedishe.net, you'll see a whole slew of things available, including what we're talking about today, The Blessed Conversation Studies are small group materials, small or large, I guess, ways to bring women together in sisterhood to learn more about their faith and to learn more about each other.
Well, let me ask you both, when and where did you first encounter Blessed Is She? Have you been with it for a long time now?
You start.
Oh, gosh. I've been with it since the beginning. I met Jenna Gizar in a Catholic women's blogger Facebook group.
Okay.
When she was founding the ministry, she was working full-time, mom of three little kids, and said, "Hey, I feel the call to do something for our Catholic sisters regarding Scripture. The Protestants, they got it covered. But what do we have for each other? An invitation to go deeper into the Word." And I thought, well, I was managing editor of the Law Review. I don't know about this ministry business, but I can help with the facilitating of the writing part. And now 4.5 years later, I'm really into the ministry part too.
That's good to hear. How about you, Shay?
Yeah, I became involved through Nell. So we are basically pseudo sister-in-laws, I guess, through marriage and family. And so that's how I heard about it truly at the beginning, right, when she was hearing about it, and just have been involved in many different ways throughout the last almost 5 years.
Okay, so yeah. It's largely an online community, but there are meetings up and events and that sort of thing actually in person, non-virtual. Is that right? Do I have I got that right?
Yes. So we have our daily devotional emails. We also have our Facebook groups. Anywhere on social media, there are hundreds of thousands of women gathered in the sisterhood. But the way we try to bring people together in person is through our blessed brunches. So blessed brunch. I mean, who doesn't want a blessed brunch, yeah, right?
So I would like a blessed brunch.
Yeah. It's extra delicious.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that is where we encourage women to come together. They sign up to host one. It's a potluck. And we put out the call on social media on our website saying, hey, somebody in St. Paul is hosting a blessed brunch. She's gathering Catholic women in her area to her home, to meet at a restaurant, to meet at a park. And from there, see how those relationships grow and ferment. They can turn into a small group. They could do our Advent or our Lent journal reflection books together. So we do want to bring people together. And then obviously the Blessed Conversations is doing it in your parish too.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about Blessed Conversations. So Shay, do you want to lead us into that? What are Blessed Conversations?
Sure. So there are two, right? And a third coming of workbooks that are on a specific topic. So, for example, Nell and I are leading one at St. Agnes, where we're both parishioners, on the Rosary and the different mysteries of the Rosary. And so we meet monthly it really spans from 12 to 30 women who come and go to Mass the Saturday morning Mass, and then have coffee and rolls and go through one of the chapters. And so it's an easy study to do, easy in quotes, because you don't have, there's no homework. We do it all right there. Okay. And do read the reflection and do some personal prayer by ourselves, and then come together as a group to just really delve in and reflect with one another.
Okay, and you said this is monthly,
yes,
happening, right? And two, maybe three, no? What is it?
Yeah, so we have, right now we have two separate studies. We have one on the Mystery of the Rosary that has five different components, and then one on the Catechism that has seven different components. So really seven studies within, or five studies within those bigger umbrellas. And women, we have thousands of women who meet to do these studies all over the world. It's incredible to hear about their experiences, to hear, the people who do meet in their parish, the people who do meet in somebody's flat if they're in London, and to see how, especially since they're written for women of all ages and stages, to see people saying, I come together with a college student and a woman who's on the verge of retiring, and we get to hear each other's stories. Mm-hmm. We get to learn from each other about our experiences and encounter Christ through hearing about each other's lives.
Mm-hmm. So now, these reflections that form the basis of the Blessed Conversations, who puts those together? Who writes those?
So I'm the editor of the series, which means I get to work with the writers. Mm-hmm. And it's from our 40 devotional writers. So from lay women, well, aside from our nuns, who are on all... excuse me. It's from our lay women who are in all walks of life.
Mm. I see. So you're getting all kinds of input from, like you said before, from college students all the way up to grandmothers and retirees, I imagine, and those who are working women and those who are just mothering many, many children, that sort of thing. So you're getting all sorts of different perspectives.
Right. So the study that we're doing right now, the one on the rosary, is written by Laura Finucci, who is in our St. Paul, Minneapolis Archdiocese.
Nice.
And she has such beautiful words of wisdom in and reflections of the rosary, that things that truly I have never experienced, how she explains the rosary and the different mysteries and what she's pulling out of.
Can you give us an example of that, Shay?
That's a really good question.
I'll put the spotlight right on you. How do you like that?
Yeah, right. I think that
she talks a lot about calling, right? About vocation.
Right.
And little V vocation, not just our big V vocations. So in looking at the joyful mystery of the rosary, how are we called to love each other? How are we called to live out our vocation in the day-to-day and to be a little more facilitating of love in our lives? Mm-hmm. And how can we practically do that, especially encountering? Maybe it's your annoying kid. Maybe it's your annoying coworker. How do you live that out?
Mm.
She's very inspirational.
Yeah.
Not your not your annoying husband, though. I'm sure that that's, that never happens.
Are you
right?
Listening? Not my annoying husband.
I hope he's listening right now. Yes.
Yeah, right.
Very good. Okay, so this is taking place all over the world. So in four and a half years, it has spread internationally.
Right.
I think that speaks to the need that women have in our Catholic faith to connect with each other. Mm. We also have the endorsement of Bishop Olmsted in the Diocese of Phoenix. Our spiritual director is the Vicar for New Evangelization in the Diocese of Phoenix. So it's very important to us to be Orthodox, to be obedient to the Church. You know, we're only putting forth things that are well within the bounds of Catholic teaching. And women want that. Mm. They want to connect and be rooted in Orthodoxy and sisterhood.
Right. Mm-hmm. Are you aware, you've said that you're doing it at St. Agnes, the Blessed Conversation Series. Are you aware of any other parishes around in the local area that are putting them on or thinking about putting them on?
You know, there are a number. I think a friend is working up in Forest Lake with St. Peter's to have it in her parish there. A friend was in discussions at Holy Family to have it there. We also find there are probably almost a dozen women having it in their homes.
Nice.
Around the Twin Cities, which is great.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I know from my own experiences that oftentimes getting together just with a group of guys or a group of friends who are kind of about the same thing, about growing deeper to the Lord, but sharing our lives with one another. I mean, it's hard to beat that. That's a tremendous gift, right? What have there been any specific fruits that either one of you have seen that have come out of this, either in your own life or in the lives of others, in terms of connection, in terms of growing closer to the Lord?
I hear so many women tell me, I didn't know any other Catholic women in my area. And now I come together and I have sisters who understand my struggle living in a secular world. I have sisters I can give that gift of myself, like you were talking about earlier, Pat. I can share myself with them. And in some instances, in my own group, it's a mom with young kids has really gotten a close relationship with one of the grandmas in our group. Mm. Those two are prayer partners. They're prayer warriors together. To see that relationship grow and to see that it's rooted in something deeper than just common interests, enjoying each other, similar tastes in food or lifestyle.
Right.
But it's rooted in our faith. That as the editor, blows me away that we can help shape and facilitate relationships based on more than just things of this earth.
Mm. What about you, Shay?
Yeah, I think for me, first of all, the daily reflections that are sent to my email, that it's so easily accessible for me to be able to delve deep into prayer right away in the morning before I do anything else, and to use that as kind of a starting point. So it's the daily readings and then a reflection on those daily readings by these 40 different writers. But for Blessed Conversations itself, it's a good way for me to have that on the calendar to be able to take time for myself away from the demands of my family, as much as I adore them, but to use it for Christ. And I mean, specifically in this particular study that the one at St. Agnes is doing about the rosary, it's really deepened my relationship with Our Lady, which has needed some deepening, frankly.
Okay.
So it's really been helpful and fruitful in that way. So,
great.
Yeah.
Great. All right, so people are obviously going to want to find out more. So where can they? Where can women or even men who are listening who have women in their lives that they'd like to recommend this to, where can we find out more?
Even the men. We'll let the men. We'll let the men
Well, that's
in.
Very kind of you. Thank you.
So blessedishe.net is our website. And then any social media channel you are on, we are there. Pinterest, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Come find us. We want to be part of your lives.
Blessedishe.net. Blessedishe.net. Excellent. Well, I know it's brief, but thank you so much for being on the Rediscover Hour today. And God bless you and all the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah, very good. So as we transition here, I do believe that Nell used the word ferment in terms of relationships. And speaking of fermenting relationships, we have with us now two other people who helped to put together the Catholic Beer Club here in the Twin Cities. Wesley Sandholm, who's currently at 3M, but one of the three founders of the Minnesota chapter, along with Tim Cahill and Isabel Brown. He's a graduate student at St. Thomas in the Catholic Studies program, and he's helping out with the Archdiocesan Men's Conference, which we'll hear about after the next break. Joining us also is that same Isabel Brown, who's core coordinator of the Catholic Beer Club, also a master's student at Catholic Studies. And it is great to have you both on the program this morning. Welcome.
Thanks, Patrick. It's great to be with you.
Yeah. All right. So you're speaking my language here, Catholic Beer Club. Why don't you start out with telling me a little bit about what is Catholic Beer Club? How did it get started? That sort of thing.
Yeah. So the Catholic Beer Club is actually a national initiative. We really just try to focus on bringing people together to kind of encounter genuine fellowship without a program, without an agenda, without something being scripted. We really just want to, facilitate an environment where people can come in, be themselves, learn more about one another, and start to build some of those genuine friendships that if you're right out of college, if you're in a new city, if you're really just at a place in life where you don't already have that, it kind of provides an environment to, grow in your faith and to deepen those friendships with one another.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Isabel, how did you first encounter Catholic Beer Club?
Oh, boy. Well, that's kind of the story of how it started here, actually.
Great, yeah. Let us know.
Yeah. So about, I think it was two summers ago, mm-hmm. Yeah, the Archdiocese did their first Archdiocesan Young Adult Picnic. Mm. So they gathered all the different young adult groups, different initiatives across the Archdiocese, had a large picnic outside. I went, I was part of a group called Teach for Christ at the time.
Yeah, sure.
And so I went with a bunch of my friends. At one point we were playing Ultimate Frisbee and Tim and Wes joined and they were like, "Hey, can we play Frisbee?" And we're like, "Yeah." We all played Frisbee. They said afterwards, "You guys are really cool." And we got to know each other a little bit. And we all remarked on how amazing it was to see an event that brought together the different young adult Catholic groups across the Archdiocese. Mm-hmm. We all had been part of one or two or three or whatever of those groups, but never before had they all come across together. And it just brought about this sense of great fellowship and community and kind of a larger sense, too, of, wow, this is what the Catholic young adult scene is. And, man, there's so many others involved. And it was really inspiring. And so me, Tim, and Wes, we all were chatting about this, and we thought, we need more of this. Like, this is really cool. We should start something.
And can I go on record as just saying that as a guy who's maybe not the most athletically inclined, I'm glad you didn't start the Catholic Ultimate Frisbee Club. Yeah. Okay. All right. So you got together, you said, we need more of this. What was the next step, Wesley?
Well, I think at that point, we had kind of floated the idea of, I think Isabel actually brought it up, like there's this great thing called Catholic Beer Club. It's a national thing.
Oh, nice.
We used to have it here, but then it kind of tapered off or something happened. Somebody wasn't planning anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of just spitballed for a few weeks and we're talking about it. And then Tim Cahill, if any of you guys end up knowing him, he has a lot of initiatives. So he's like, let's just do it. Let's just do it. So we all got together, we chose a spot, and then collectively we all just kind of invited all of our friends on Facebook, and then they invited more people, and so forth.
I don't remember getting an invitation.
Well,
This is a young adult thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Overlook.
It is. All right. Yeah.
It's not exclusively that, but we do try to keep the crowd a little bit more of the same period of life. But yeah, we just kind of decided to go for it and see what happened. And then we figured we'd just kind of tailor how everything grew to what kind of response we got. And it's been a blessing and a godsend, really. Yeah.
What kind of response have you gotten, Isabel?
Oh my gosh, it's been overwhelmingly successful. I had no idea. I was kind of like, maybe we'll get, 20 people showing up, having a beer. Almost right off the bat, we were getting 40. Well, the first couple ones were small, but very quickly it grew and we were like, whoa, 50, 60, 70. We were starting to call ahead to breweries, we need a big space. We've got a big crowd coming in. And then also immediately I had people coming up to me afterwards, like, thank you so much for starting something like this. Like, thank you for creating this. Like, I just had so much fun. Like, I got to talk to so many people. Like, we needed this in the Twin Cities, which just honestly just really surprised me and humbled me. It was like, wow, dang, like we didn't even do that much. Like, we just said, come show up and have a beer, and people came. It
was fabulous. Imagine that. You say come show up and have a beer and people come. Wow, it's not rocket science, is it? That's pretty good. That's excellent, and the numbers are great. So all right, so take me inside. What happens at a Catholic beer club? You get an invitation saying, hey, we're meeting. And you always meet at breweries? Is that the way?
Yeah, so far we have. We want to kind of try to stay with the name.
Okay.
So yeah. Catholic Beer Club.
Yes, that would make sense.
Yeah, but we normally, so the three coordinators, we kind of normally show up about half an hour or so before everybody tends to get there just to, touch base on life, what's going on, and then really just to kind of set ourselves in the mindset of the evening. Mm. We all try to be very social at the event, so making sure that we're not just hanging out with our friends or whatever else, but that we really try to bring in all those new people, engage them, have some really good conversations just to hear about their lives, to hear where they are, where they're coming from. And then I know myself, if I hear something in the conversation that they're really passionate about, I'm like, oh, I know three people here who have similar interests. Let me also kind of connect you and introduce you to them. Isabel?
Yeah. Trying to think, we go to a different brewery or try to every 3 weeks or so, and we're always open to input from the people who come. Where do you want to go next? And but I think what you were saying, Wes, about we don't, at least for the co-coordinators, we really make an effort to welcome everyone who shows up and to go around and check in with people. And yeah, it's a very social time for me. I'm just like going around, checking in with people, saying hi. But I think a really big thing for me has been making sure people feel welcome, because there's new people coming in. They're walking into this brewery. They don't really know where Catholic Beer Club is. We're not standing there with a big sign.
Right,
we don't have like posters and flyers and our corner roped off. It's very much like we're there with everyone else at the brewery. We are the biggest crowd there usually. But I think it's just very important to make people feel welcome. Like, we want you here. We want to know who you are. And like Wes was saying, too, we want to get you connected to the larger Twin Cities Catholic scene. So whether that's, you need a parish to go to, you want to get involved in some sort of young adult group, you want to do volunteer work. I've heard of, work opportunities, people connecting for that, dating relationships, people connecting for that, just new friendships all around. It's really exciting to see.
Okay, great. So it's really, it's an inroad into developing, nurturing relationships and meeting new folks in the Catholic Twin Cities scene. And okay, excellent. Yeah. Now, a pivotal question, do you have to drink/like beer to come to a Catholic beer club meeting?
We get that question a lot, and I think it I think it kind of puts people off at the beginning for those who aren't beer drinkers. It's like, oh, well, I don't drink, I don't want to go. But we actually do have a very sizable group that just comes for the fellowship in the community. So they have water, they have soda, whatever. And it's just, it's not about the beer. I think the beer sometimes helps to facilitate if someone's nervous, if, you know, you just want to have something
in
your hand.
Courage,
exactly. Okay. If you just want to have something in your hand as you're talking.
Yep.
But we actually, one of the coolest things from this is that some of the people who come aren't even Catholic.
Yeah.
We've had some agnostics, some Anglicans, some atheists. You know, it's really just about that time of encounter with other people. And yes, the Catholicity and the beer kind of are what ties it together, but it's not at all a requirement. The only requirement is that you're open to seeing how the Holy Spirit moves you in the evening and just developing those relationships.
Mm-hmm. Wow, wonderful. And again, the question is, I mean, just like with Blessed Is She, you're connecting people. It sounds so good. I'm glad we tied those two things together. Mm-hmm. Hats off to our producer, Susanna Perrin, for doing that. how do people find out more? If you're a young adult in the Twin Cities wanting to find out more about Catholic Beer Club, where would you go?
Yeah, well, now we have multiple places you can go. We're on Facebook, so I'd say that's the easiest place to just look us up, and you can find our Twin Cities chapter there. We also, Tim is awesome. Shout out to Tim right now.
All right.
He has been working super duper hard on a newsletter for us. So we have an email newsletter that you can sign up for. I think, where would they find that link? It's on Facebook somewhere.
Yeah, so it's on any of the past events. It's on the Catholic Beer Club website.
Right.
And Tim is just, he's awesome. He's got so much initiative, but yeah, he's started that. It's also got additional event information, so other things that are going on in the cities, other ways to get involved, but definitely through the Facebook and the website.
The website, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Wonderful. Well, I look forward to hearing more and more great things coming from the Catholic Beer Club. Thank you to you both, Wetzel Sandholm, Isabel Brown, for joining us on the Rediscover Hour today.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Well, we are we're reaching the point for we're going to take another break. When we come back, Men's Evangelization Manager Enzo Rendazzo is going to sit down with Matt Fred, who's going to give the man talk at the next Catholic Watchman rally. So it's a great interview. Stick around. We'll hear it in just a moment.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
I'd just like to offer up 1,000 thanksgivings to our Father in Heaven. I've been praying the chaplet with you guys for the past 19 months while I was incarcerated. My heart has been so softened through this ministry.
Oh gosh, the fruit of Relevant Radio has been off the charts. Lives have been changed. Prayer has been fostered. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful gift to, I know, a lot of communities. And now the world can listen to us in the country over our mobile app. We're listener-supported Catholic talk radio, and there's very few of these types of stations in the nation. And we try to give you a different look at life. And in order to stay on the air, we rely on you and your generosity.
Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
You can borrow.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. I'm Enzo Randazzo. Matt Fred is a Catholic who hosts the podcast Pints with Aquinas. He gets over 500,000 downloads every month. He's the best-selling author of several books, including Does God Exist? And The Porn Myth. That's right, I said porn on Relevant Radio. Matt has been invited to come to St. Henry's in Monticello on February 12th to speak to men. We're going to have a men's Catholic Watchman rally, and he's been invited to come and speak to us regarding men in the church and our life as Catholic men. He lives with his wife, Cameron, and their children in Georgia, and he's here with us right now. Matt, welcome to Relevant Radio.
Good to be with you.
So, hey, we just hung out at the Focus Conference at the beginning of the month. Did you have a good time there?
Yeah, I had a great time. There was about 17 or more thousand. I meet so many people and to have a lot of conversations.
Yeah, I had a blast. That was probably the biggest Catholic conference sort of event I'd ever been to, you know.
It was overwhelming. It was kind of like walking into a mall and not knowing where to look. There were so many things to look at. It was quite exhausting for me, but yeah, Focus does such a terrific job, and so I was happy to be there.
Yeah, they do. It really is. It's an incredible event. I'm curious if you noticed what I noticed. What would you guess was the ratio of men to women there?
Golly, that's a good question. I mean, I would just suspect that there would be more women than men, but I wouldn't say by much. It would seem like, I don't know, like 60-40?
Yeah. Well, at some points, I don't know, for me, I guess just because I'm working in men's evangelization, I'm always sort of keen on that. It seemed to me that there were more women than men at any one given point. I mean, even when I go to church at daily mass and that sort of thing, I don't know if that's something you notice.
Yeah, I think the religious and religious issues tend to attract women more than men. I think that's a safe enough generalization.
Yeah, I mean, do you think there's something about religion in particular that's like, I don't know, feminine or something?
I think there is something that appeals to men, but it needs to legitimately demand our respect. If we're up the front playing guitars and have felt banners and the homily doesn't exhort us to repent and change and be good and strong, then there's nothing in it to respect. And for that reason, I think the more sort of faithful to what the Vatican Council had to say about how liturgy ought to be celebrated in Sacrosanctum Concilium, the more faithful it is, I think the more men you're going to find interested. I spoke to a priest friend of mine who celebrates the extraordinary form, and he said it's usually the case that men are leading their wives to the extraordinary form, because when you go to the extraordinary form or the Novus Ordo that's celebrated very sacredly,
right,
men, I think, naturally recognize there's something here that's very masculine, that, like, I know my place. I need something to worship. I don't want to just shuffle around a room like it's a 7-Eleven. I have been made to worship. I want to worship. And if I'm given nothing but boring and ugly music and ugly architecture, then I quickly lose interest.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that, especially when I dive into Scripture, I don't know if you have this experience, there's so many men who are our heroes in Scripture. And even just looking at our faith from a historical perspective, men are leading the way. They're leading the way. Even I was thinking about how, the sacrifice in the Old Testament, I mean, these are priests who are sacrificing lambs. You know, this is a very manly thing to do.
Yeah.
I wonder, do you think we sort of lost that or something?
Well, it's not just the sacrificing of lambs. I mean, we even see David, who was a very manly figure, dancing before the ark. Again, it's something to do, I think, with men, with knowing their place and wanting hierarchy. I mean, you see this when men go away to sort of military school, where there's something to be respected here.
Right.
I know my place, and the person I'm giving respect to has sort of earned it, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something beautiful, I think, about the liturgy where, you know, it's beautiful, but there's something even about, like, getting down on your knees and receiving the Lord. That's just anecdotal experience, but it's something that I find as I talk to more and more men. They want to worship our Lord. They want to be strong and virtuous.
Exactly.
They don't want people pandering to them. I certainly bloody don't. You know, the first thing our Lord said in his public ministry was repent and believe the good news.
Right.
He didn't come and justify our viciousness and our laziness. He called us to repent, and I think unless we're preaching the gospel as Christ and St. Paul, St. Peter, and the other apostles did, then we're not going to attract many men.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the mission...
Do you think so?
What's that?
Do you agree?
I'm totally with you there. I agree completely. I mean, it's sort of... That's what I was getting into here, is the mission of the Catholic Watchman itself, this men's initiative in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. We're trying to call Catholic men to live up to their duty as protectors, providers, and leaders in their family, in their parish, in the church in general. And so, I mean, it's all related. I guess with that said, do you think there are specific concerns a Catholic man, a Catholic watchman ought to be, keep in his purview as he tries to lead his family in the faith?
Gosh, I mean, there's so many dangers on every side, but I think the key thing that's required of all of us is to have a intimate relationship with our Savior and to seek to be faithful to Him and to the teachings of His church. And I think if that's first and foremost, then the other things are going to fall into line. So I'm not going to want to just binge on Netflix and porn and, you know, eat a ton of crap that's not good for me. I'm going to be aware of the devices that I bring into my home and allow my children to play on. It's almost like if you put the Lord at the center of your life, I think to some degree, a lot of the things are going to fall into place. Whereas if you don't have the Lord at the center of your life, you'll just be running off in every direction trying to put out a bunch of fires. I take great comfort in knowing that our Lord makes up for my insufficiencies as a husband and as a parent. That doesn't give me the excuse to be a bad husband or a bad parent, but I fail every day. But I ask our Lord, you know, make up for how I lack.
Right, yeah. I think for me personally, in my experience in faith, a great help to me, a great grace God has given me has been my brothers, my friends, my guy friends in particular. And that's something that I know that Bishop Cousins is always trying to promote with the Catholic Watchman is a sense of fraternity as yeah. well, which helps us, right? You as you were mentioning about maybe even like in the military, men have this image of men banding together, coming together. This is sort of the something that I guess we're trying to get back to. Is that something you have in your life that you would say, like maybe you have brothers or do you have that experience of fraternity in your own life?
Yeah, I certainly am trying to cultivate it. I think it's the one thing that gets sacrificed when men are middle-aged, like I am. You have your career, which
right.
you know you need to invest into, or else you won't have money and you won't be able to provide your family. You have your family, who are sort of an immediate concern for which you ought to take care of. So the one thing that usually you kind of give up on is brotherhood. You know, because I have to see my wife every day because we share the same house. I have to see my children for the same reason. But I don't have to see my brothers regularly unless I get serious and intentional about building Catholic brotherhood. And I agree, it's absolutely necessary if we want to be good, holy men, to have you know, men in our lives who we're encouraging and we're loving with. I'm not sure you can have too many of these sorts of friends. I think you can have, you know, small groups and things like that. But in my experience, it's usually just a couple of close sort of allies who you can sort of bear everything to. You can talk about your wounds, about your struggles, and have these men encourage you in that. But certainly, I think like meeting weekly would be a good thing to aim at.
Yeah, this is something.
And sometimes I think sometimes I think we can over spiritualize these things too. I mean, getting together. I want to create a video that says cigars are good for you. Why cigars are good for you?
And
of course, cigars are terrible for you. I mean, it's a great way to get, you know, mouth, throat, lung cancer or whatever. But it's also a really great thing to do because it enables you to sit down for at least 20 minutes. I mean, there's nowhere to go. You can't really get up. You have to sit.
Right.
And it's really a great way to begin having a good conversation with friends. So I think, you know, not having to over-spiritualize this. Like, friendship is a radical enough thing in today's day and age to be engaged in. So to get together with the guys once a week, once every 2 weeks for a cigar or a pipe.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the whole Pints with Aquinas thing, I think, is an echo of that, at least for me. I know that I just love going to the bar with my guy friends who are good Catholic friends who have encouraged me in faith. And it's often there where we connect and encourage each other. And from there, we leave sort of refreshed in a way and ready to get back to the faith.
Yeah, indeed.
What are some sort of ideas, I guess, you might give us with respect to fraternity of how to cultivate that? Like you said, it is often over-spiritualized, and I think there's even a sense of, we don't want to create something that's artificial. There's something, as we try to build culture as Catholics, what do you think are the best forums now for Catholic men to come into and be encouraged in that way?
Well, there's certainly more formalized ways of getting together in the church. There's a terrific program out there right now called Exodus 90, exodus90.com,
yeah.
where men can get together and embark upon a 90-day adventure where they take on what they'd rather not, like cold showers, say, and give up what they'd rather not, like whiskey. And you know, men seem to do well when they're doing something together. I think it was Brian Regan who spoke about hunting, you know, or fishing. Like, you think about that, but remove the violence, and it just seems really weird. It's like, hey, you want to get up tomorrow really early? The sunrise is beautiful at that time. I thought we could sit really close to each other and paint ourselves.
Right, the comedian, you know,
yeah. Like, that's super weird. You know?
Right, yeah.
If you kill something, it makes it okay. And I think that as men, like, we like doing things together. So I'd say begin with just being honest. Like, what do you want to do? And maybe what you want to do is going for a hike, going for a jog, or playing poker and having a beer. If that's what you want to do, then make that happen. But then there are those more like formalized ways of growing in the faith as brothers, and Exodus 9:0 is just one that comes to mind.
Yeah, well, I'll say something about Exodus 90. That it's founded by James Baxter, who he and I were in seminary together at St. John Vianney Seminary. Yeah, and actually, it's important for me to mention, it seems providential, because Father Bear, at the time this is recorded, he was our rector, and he died a year ago today. Father William Bear, and his thing was instilling in us, in James and in myself, this sense of the importance of your brothers in Christ, your brother, men of the church, men in Christ, men for others, is something we would say together. And it's very much lacking in the church, I think, but we see this sort of resurgence. I think there's the very idea that you and I are here talking, Matt, is a sense that men, there's something we want to win back. We're trying to take back something. I don't know if you would agree with that, or you have that sense as well.
Win back something, yeah. I think individually and in the society around us. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, maybe in the church, and there's something that's been, I don't know, my sense, in the sense that I had, is something's like been taken from us or something. I don't know, or that we've been, we've lost something, you know.
Yeah.
As leaders, well, as protectors, as providers.
Right, yeah, there is something there, I think, that we naturally long for and hunger for, and when we're told not to worry about it, it's like, it would be like kind of buying a stallion and just sticking it inside a pen and telling it to be,
right,
to sort of, just be happy, just be happy, you know, just, no need to get too wild or crazy, just be content. And it's like, well, I can't be content, you know, without meaning, without purpose, without drive, without vision.
Exactly. Matt, are there any male saints maybe that you, or I don't know, female saints? I mean, to talk about, sometimes it's a little bit exhausted, I think. It's like men stuff. But, I mean, we compliment women. So I guess why not talk about your relationship with the saints and how the saints help us with respect to our call as men, as leaders in our families and in the church?
You know, the immediate saint that came to mind is one by the name of Saint Vitalis of Gaza, who I'm in an Eastern Catholic church, and he was an Eastern Catholic, not an Eastern Catholic, he was, I guess, Orthodox at the time. But he would, you know, work as a day laborer and then each day take his money to a prostitute each night. Only instead of using her, he would spend the night with her, praying the Psalms throughout the night so that she wouldn't have to be with anybody else, wouldn't have to sin that night.
Oh, wow.
That's a pretty cool thing. It's said that as he was leaving this house of prostitution, somebody attacked him, either a pimp who was upset at the amount of women who were leaving prostitution, or a fellow Christian who was scandalized by his behavior. Either way, he ends up dying, but at his funeral, there was a candlelit procession of women, both current prostitutes and prostitutes, or women who were prostitutes, who were honoring the man who was able to see their dignity even when they couldn't. You know, that's pretty cool, and I'm not suggesting we do that.
It is cool, though, yeah.
But there is something really masculine about that. You know, you wonder how many other men were doing that, and maybe not many, and he probably looked weird and absurd. And again, I'm certainly not suggesting we do that unless you have the purity of St. Joseph, which many of us don't. But that's pretty cool, you know, to be dangerous, to be mission driven, to love radically like that. I think something we all long for. One of the most masculine saints in the 20th century, to my mind, is Saint Jose Maria Escriva. if you want a swift kick in the pants, spiritually speaking, then Jose Maria Escrivá is your guy. He wrote three little books that all have little aphorisms, that is short, spiritually dense sentences that really make you think and focus on the spiritual life and motivate you.
I think it's The Way, The Furrow, and The Forge, I think is the name.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, he's excellent. That's awesome. What about your relationship with Mary? I mean, I guess you could speak personally, but when you come here and you give a talk to the men, I think that I mean it wouldn't be Catholic unless you touch on Mary and the importance of Mary in our life. So, is there anything you could say with respect to Our Lady as our bride?
Well, I'm not sure. I think as our bride, I'm not sure I've thought enough about that to speak to that. I think the first thing we ought to do when we think about Mary is to shut up, because the mystery of Mary is more than we can bear. Saint Augustine said, "Him whom the heavens cannot contain, the womb of one woman bore. She ruled our ruler. She carried him in whom we are. She gave milk to our bread." So the mystery that is Mary is enough that should lead us to sort of stop our tongues, you know.
Right.
Whereas you and I are sons of God, that might be our deepest identity, you might say. Mary has an intimate relationship with each person of the Blessed Trinity. She's not only the daughter of God, she's also, in a mystical way, the spouse of him and the mother of him. Wow. So this is what led Protestant poet William Wordsworth to say she is our tainted nature's solitary boast, our tainted nature's solitary boast. And the beauty which is Mary, I think, is something that we should think about often. I love what Louis de Montfort says in True Devotion to Mary. He says, it's not, you know, look, Mary's next to nothing, or nothing itself next to he who is. I mean, she's just a creature. But Satan, in a sense, fears her more than Almighty God. Not because the wrath and power isn't infinite in God, or that it is in Mary, but that because of his great pride, he fears being humiliated by a little handmaid.
Right.
Than he does, you know, the awesomeness and omnipotence of God. And so for that reason, I think she can be a powerful help in spiritual warfare, too.
I think that's exactly right. Awesome. Very awesome, Matt. I think that I just want to thank you for coming on and giving us your words. I'm so excited to have you here in Minneapolis and at it's in Monticello, which is a suburb at St. Henry's. I know Father Tony Vanderloop, he's very excited as well to have you there. And just want to encourage all men to come. As we can see, Matt is out there really leading the way in many ways to help men know that this is their church, this is their faith, and it's absolutely vital that we band together. So thanks, Matt, for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me.
The Catholic Watchman Rally with Matt Frad on February 12th is free. We just ask that you register so we know how much food to make. You can go to thecatholicwatchman.com to register. That's, again, thecatholicwatchman.com for the Tuesday, February 12th, Catholic Watchman Rally with Matt Frad. Patrick and Paul will be back with Catholic events around the Twin Cities in just a minute, so stay with us.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe-money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe-money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
I believe in a blessing. seen I don't understand. I've seen rain fall on the wicked and the just. Rain is no measure of his faithfulness. He withholds no good thing from us.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. My thanks to Enzo for that great interview with Matt Fratt. I hope all of you can attend. And we got a bunch of other things. Actually, Paul, why don't you tell us more about that?
More men stuff.
Watchman Rally.
Men from all over the Archdiocese are invited to the Catholic Watchman Rally Tuesday, February 12th, 6:30 to 9 at St. Henry Catholic Church in Monticello. Evening includes Eucharistic adoration, confessions, dinner, presentation with author, speaker, and podcaster Matt Pratt, who will be giving the man talk. Free will offering of $20 suggested but not required. Register online by visiting the events page at rediscover-faith.org or contact Enzo Randazzo at rondazzov@archspm.org.
Experience the goodness of God's intention for you and his desire for you to experience long-lasting freedom in every area of your life by attending the John Paul II Healing Center Conference, The Deep Heart of God, Finding Redemption, Healing, and Restoration. This event takes place Friday, February 15th and Saturday, February 16th at Good Shepherd Catholic Church in Golden Valley. You'll learn practical tools for identifying and uprooting sin at its deepest roots and how you can activate God's grace in your life and grow closer to Him. The regular registration rate is $70 if you sign up by February 10th and $80 thereafter. Learn more and register at jpiihealingcenter.org or on the events page at archspm.org.
The Church of St. Peter in Forest Lake invites widows and widowers to share in their Agape Dinner Saturday, February 16th. Registration begins at 9:30 a.m., Mass at 10, presentation by Bishop Andrew Cousins on Agape Love. Dinner will follow in St. Peter's Hall. Cost is $10 per person. RSVP by Friday, February 8th. For questions, call Cindy Casey, 651-249-8807, or the parish office, 651-982-2229. To reserve, mail payment to the Church of St. Peter, 1250 South Shore Drive, Forest Lake, Minnesota. You can also find out more by visiting stpeterfl.org/news/bereavement.
The Argument Club for Women invites Twin Cities women of all creeds and convictions to a Talking Truth event with Gloria Purvis, chairperson for Black Catholics United for Life. Gloria will present Dismantling Planned Parenthood, Abortion, Racism, and the Black Community Tuesday, February 19th at the Church of St. Mark in St. Paul. Gloria will help us understand the racist history and ongoing impact of abortion on the Black community in the United States. Dinner is at 6, program at 6:45. Visit relevantradio.com/events for a link to register in advance for a discount. That's February 19th at St. Mark's.
Are you tired of divisive, angry politics? As Minnesota Catholics, we can begin to transform politics in our state. You're invited to join your fellow parishioners and thousands of more Catholics from across the state for a day of prayer and advocacy in St. Paul that will inspire you and teach you how to put your faith into action. On Tuesday, February 19th, we're coming together for Life and Dignity for Catholics at the Capitol. Visit www.catholicsatthecapitol.org for details and to register. Space is limited, so don't delay. Transportation options are available.
Quick reminder for those who are tuning in to the Rediscover Hour next week that starting February 10th, we'll be aired on Sundays at 2 p.m. rather than 9 a.m. And what do Saints Vincent de Paul, John Paul II, Paul Meakey, and companions have in common? They're all on the next Rediscover Hour. Join us as we catch up with Ed Corner and Pat Kaiser on all the good things happening in the local Society of St. Vincent de Paul. Then special guest Ken Kniepman will tell us about the JP2 Healing Center, and Deacon Nathan Allen will help us honor the Feast of St. Paul Meekin Companions by sharing about his growing up in Japan as the son of missionaries. That's all coming up next time. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey. They're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.